quisiera enseñar en español, pero es mejor para ustedes que tener que tengo traducción. Por eso, gracias a Juan. All right, great. Anyway, it's great to be with you today.
Es un placer que usted esté aquí.
I was asked to speak about the book of Daniel.
Me pidieron que hablara acerca del libro de Daniel.
And that's one of my favorite topics.
Y es uno de mis tópicos favoritos.
It's good to be with you this weekend.
Es un placer estar con ustedes este fin de semana.
Roberto said tonight, if I want to speak for 3 hours, that's okay. That's what he said.
Dijo Roberto que si podíamos hablar por 3 horas, no hay problema. ¿Correcto?
But actually, Juan has to get to a ugly sweater party tonight.
Pero Juan tiene que llegar a un evento que tiene esta noche de suéteres feos.
Yeah. And Jan and I were supposed to go to that also, but we're missing it.
Dice que Jan y ella tienen que ir, pero se la van a perder.
It's okay with me. All right. So anyway, let me tell you a little bit about the book of Daniel. The theme of Daniel,
el tema de Daniel,
God rules the nations.
Dios reina las naciones.
Do not fear.
No tengas miedo.
There's two main messages.
Hay dos mensajes principales.
The first message of Daniel is that God is in control.
El primer mensaje es que Dios está en control.
I have a question for you. It's a simple question.
Tengo una pregunta muy simple.
Do you believe that God is in control?
¿Tú que Dios tiene control?
Oh, you're supposed to say that.
Dice, tienes que decir eso.
You're a church, of course you say that.
Pues estás en iglesia, claro, te vas a decir eso.
But do you really believe that God's in control?
¿Ya realmente estás convencido que Dios tiene control?
Do you act like God is, you believe God is in control?
¿Tú actúas como que Dios tiene control?
See, we're going to see Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
Vamos a ver a Daniel, a Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego.
Four jóvenes.
Cuatro jóvenes.
Teenagers.
Son estos adolescentes.
They believed that God was in control.
Ellos creían que Dios tenía control.
So that's one of the messages, is that God is in control.
Es uno de los mensajes que Dios tiene el control.
The other message of Daniel is how to maintain a righteous life.
El otro mensaje de Daniel es cómo mantener una vida de rectitud.
In a world that's doing everything it can to get you to compromise your convictions.
En un mundo que constantemente quiere comprometer tus convicciones.
And that's the main message of Daniel.
Ese es el mensaje principal de Daniel.
And you might wonder how those two are connected.
Y tal vez te preguntas cómo esos dos están conectados.
In fact, there's two parts of Daniel.
Hay dos partes del libro de Daniel.
The first parts of Daniel.
El primer parte de Daniel.
Chapter 1 and 3 through 6.
1 y 3 al 16.
These are stories about Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
Hablan acerca de la historia de Daniel, de Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego.
And the question is, will they stay faithful?
La pregunta es, ¿van a mantenerse fieles?
The world is throwing everything at them.
El mundo está dando todo a ellos.
Trying to get them to compromise their convictions.
Que ellos dejen sus convicciones.
Trying to get them to make out a deal with the world.
Casi como hacer un trato con el mundo.
And will they be faithful?
Y la pregunta es, ¿van a ser fieles?
It's practical stories.
Es una historia muy práctica.
The other half of Daniel,
la otra mitad de Daniel,
is prophecies of the future.
Son profecías del futuro.
Chapter 2,
capítulo 2,
and 7 through 12.
7 al 12.
And you might wonder, how would prophecies of the future,
la tercera pregunta es, ¿cómo profecías del futuro
relate to the stories about Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego?
¿Cómo se relacionan o se complementan con las historias de Daniel, Meshach, Shadrach, y Abednego?
Like with the statue and then the lion's den.
Hablo acerca de las estatuas y la del león.
And whether they be faithful.
Y cómo van a ser fieles.
Well, here's the connection.
Aquí está la conexión.
Because Daniel is a very unique book.
Porque Daniel es un libro único.
If you go to the library,
si vas a la biblioteca,
they don't have a big section for this kind of book.
No hay una sección para este libro.
It's a history book of the future.
Es un libro de historia del futuro.
You don't find a lot of those in the library.
No encuentras muchos en la biblioteca.
And the book of Daniel tells in amazing, fantastic detail.
La historia de Daniel dice unas cosas en detalle.
The history of the future.
Dice la historia del futuro.
And it proves that God is in control.
Y comprueba que Dios está en control.
God rules the nations.
Dios reina sobre las naciones.
He raises up empires.
Dice que levanta empires.
He takes them out.
Y los quita.
Do you think you could take care of your pocketbook?
¿Tú crees que te puedes cuidar tu bolsillo?
Do you think you could take care of your health?
¿Crees que puedes cuidar tu salud?
Do you think you could take care of your family?
¿Crees que puedes cuidar tu familia?
So that's the connection.
Ahí está la conexión.
If God rules the nations,
si Dios reina todas las naciones,
surely He can rule in your life.
Claro que puede ser el rey de tu vida.
That's the connection.
Es la conexión.
Now, if you want to understand Daniel, think of it this way.
Para entender, tienes que pensar de esta manera.
Daniel in the Old Testament.
Daniel en el Viejo Testamento.
Apocalipsis in the New Testament.
Apocalipsis en el Nuevo Testamento.
Same theme.
El mismo tema.
And even a similar setting.
Y casi el mismo lugar, puedes decir.
Because the theme of both books is that God is in control.
Los temas de los dos libros es que Dios está en control.
They both contain prophecies of the future.
Los dos tienen profecías del futuro.
The audience of Apocalipsis,
el audiencia de Apocalipsis
is the church,
es la iglesia,
being persecuted in the first, second, and third century.
La iglesia siendo perseguida en el primero, segundo y tercer siglo.
And again, the message is, despite the situation,
y lo mismo es de lo que esté pasando,
God is in control.
Dios en control.
The audience of Daniel,
la audiencia de Daniel,
is the Jews.
Son los judíos.
Suffering persecution.
Sufriendo estas persecuciones.
Under Antiochus Epiphanes.
Antiochus
Epiphanes. Now you're very confused.
Ahora estás muy confundido.
Who's that guy?
¿Quién es esa persona?
Never heard of him.
Nunca he escuchado de él.
He's not in the Bible.
No está en la Biblia.
Oh yes, he's in the Bible.
Oh, sí está en la Biblia.
He's in Daniel.
Está en el libro de Daniel.
This was a man who persecuted the Jews.
Este es un hombre que perseguía a los judíos.
The worst persecution in the history of the Jews.
Esta es la peor persecución en la historia de los judíos.
But it happened between the Old Testament and the New Testament.
Pasó entre el Viejo Testamento y el Nuevo Testamento.
So you don't read about it in the Bible.
So no lo lees en la Biblia.
But that's the setting.
Pero este es el lugar.
And the question is, can the Jews stay faithful even though they're persecuted?
Y la pregunta es, ¿pueden los judíos mantenerse fiel aunque sean perseguidos?
Try to read that there. Okay, good. So let me tell you the historical background.
A ver, cuento un poquito acerca de la historia.
In order to understand the book, you have to know what's going on, okay?
Lo que tienes que entender es, para entender lo que tienes que saber lo que está pasando.
Now the first part of the background you're familiar with.
Lo primero estás muy familiarizado con ella.
You know that there was the northern kingdom.
¿Sabes de que había un, reino en el norte?
And they were unfaithful.
Y eran infieles.
And the Assyrians came.
Y los de Siria vinieron.
In 722 BC.
722 antes de Cristo.
Yeah. And destroyed the northern kingdom.
Y destruyó el imperio del norte.
The southern kingdom was more faithful.
El del sur fue más fiel.
But they also became totally immersed in idolatry.
Y también, cometieron pecado en idolatría.
So God sent the Babylonians.
Entonces mandó a los Babilonios.
The year was 605. Antes de Cristo. And Nebuchadnezzar came.
Y Nebuchadnezzar vino.
And he didn't conquer the city.
He conquered?
He did not conquer the
no
city.
Lo conquistó la ciudad.
The Jews surrendered.
Los judíos se dieron por vencida.
So they took the children of the royal family.
So tomaron a los hijos de la familia real
as captives.
Como captivos.
And they took them back to Babylon.
Y los llevaron a Babilonia.
That's Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
Ese es Daniel.
Right. They were the children of the royal family.
Ellos eran hijos de la familia real.
And the way it works is,
y cómo funcionan las cosas,
you pay me the money.
Tú me pagas.
Or I have your children. So for a few years the Jews paid.
Entonces, unos años, los judíos pagaban.
And then foolishly they rebelled.
Y después, ellos tontamente se rebelaron.
Even though Jeremiah said don't rebel.
Aunque Jeremías dijo, no se rebelen.
And Ezekiel said don't rebel.
Y Ezequiel decía, no se rebelen.
So Nebuchadnezzar came back.
Entonces, Nebuchadnezzar regresó.
He took away the king.
Y se llevó al rey.
He tore down part of the wall.
Parte de la pared.
And he put Zedekiah in as the new king.
Y puso a Zedekiah con, like, the king, right?
Yeah, the new king.
El nuevo rey.
He said, don't you rebel.
No se rebelen.
Foolish man.
Es otra persona tonta.
A few years later, he rebelled again.
Unos años después,
Nebuchadnezzar came back.
Nebuchadnezzar regresó.
He destroyed the entire city.
Y destruyó completamente toda la ciudad.
Destroyed the temple.
destruyó el templo.
And sent the Jews into captivity.
Y mandó a todos los judíos en
Now, Jeremiah prophesied in Jeremiah 29.
Jeremías profetizó en Jeremías 29.
He said 70 years.
Dijo que 70 años.
You know that passage that we love so much?
¿Ves ese pasaje que nos encanta tanto?
I know the plans I have for you.
Porque usted los planes tengo para ustedes.
Plans to give you a future and a hope.
Planes que tienen un futuro y esperanza.
It's going to go great.
Va a ser todo bien.
Did you ever read the passage?
¿Has leído todo el pasaje?
He said, you're going to go into captivity for 70 years.
Dice, vas a ir a captiverio por 70 años.
Yeah, I'm going to bless you.
Sí, te voy a bendecir.
70 years from now.
70 años después.
Wow.
So that was the captivity for 70 years.
Esa es la captividad de 70 años.
Daniel went into captivity 605 BC.
Daniel fue en captividad en 605 antes de Cristo.
And then 68 years later, Cyrus.
Y 68 años después, Sirius.
The Persian came.
El persiano vino.
And he overcame the Babylonian Empire.
Él tumba el imperio de Babilonia.
And the Jews began to come back.
Y los judíos empiezan a regresar.
70 years after Daniel was taken.
70 años después que Daniel fue en captividad.
Daniel was still alive.
Daniel todavía estaba vivo.
And then the story goes on.
Y la historia continúa.
The Persians took over for a while.
Los persianos toman por un tiempo.
They ruled the Jews for 200 years.
Y gobiernan a los judíos por 200 años.
And the Persians were pretty nice to the Jews.
Y dice que los persianos eran buenos a los judíos.
But then Alexander the Great came.
Y después viene Alexander el Grande.
You've heard of Alexander the Great.
Han escuchado a Alexander el Grande, ¿verdad?
He came in 335 BC.
Vino 335 antes de Cristo.
He conquered the entire Persian Empire.
Conquistó todo el imperio de los persianos.
Of course, all of this is prophesied by Daniel.
Todo eso es esta profecía de Daniel.
And it goes forward another 150 years or so. And then this terrible ruler named Antiochus Epiphanes came in. He outlawed Jewish worship. He slaughtered pigs in the temple.
Dice que mataban a los cuerpos en el templo.
Smeared the blood of pigs all over the temple.
Y así es que manchaba el templo de la sangre de los cuerpos.
He put a statue of Jupiter,
dice que puso una estatua de Júpiter, del dios Júpiter,
in the Holy of Holies.
En el templo santo de Santos.
And the face on the statue was Antiochus Epiphanes.
Y la cara de él estaba en la estatua.
It was a terrible time.
Era un tiempo muy difícil.
He said, if you circumcise your male children,
dice que si circuncidas a tus hijos mayores,
first we'll kill your child.
Primero vamos a matar a tu hijo.
Then we'll kill your wife.
Y vamos a matar a tu esposa.
And then we'll kill you.
Y eso lo vamos a matar a ti.
You can read about this in 1st and 2nd Maccabees.
¿Puedes leer eso en primer y segundo de Maccabeos?
Maccabeos.
You say, I missed that one. Ask your Catholic friend. It's in their Bible. Maybe they're not using it. I don't know. Possibly.
Tal vez.
So that's what the book of Daniel is about. It's about staying faithful.
Se trata de mantenerse fiel.
After 3 years, God saved the Jews.
Después de tres años, Dios salvó a los judíos.
They still remember that.
Todavía se acuerdan de eso.
It's called Hanukkah.
Hanukkah se llama.
It's you know, they're celebrating it right now.
Ahorita lo están celebrando.
It remembers that time.
Todavía se recuerda ese día.
And it brought in a time of great glory for the Jews, and they had their own nation again.
Dice que trae una grande celebración para los judíos y tienen su nación.
All this happened between the time of the Testaments.
Todo esto pasa antes en los Testamentos.
And then came Rome.
Y aquí viene Roma.
Rome conquered the Greeks.
Después Roma vence a los de Grecia.
Here's the Babylonian Empire.
Ahí está el Babilonia.
Of Nebuchadnezzar.
De Nebuchadnezzar.
Here's the Empire of the Persians.
El imperio de, ¿cómo se dice persiano? Persa.
It's the largest empire in the world up to that time.
Es el imperio más grande en ese tiempo.
That's the Empire of Cyrus.
El imperio de Cyrus.
And then that was replaced by the Empire of Alexander the Great.
Y eso se reemplazó por el imperio de Alexander el Grande.
All this is prophesied in fantastic detail in the book of Daniel.
Todo esto es profetizado en fantásticos detalles en el libro de Daniel.
All right, so let's get into the text.
Vamos a leer entonces el texto.
Now, I'm only going to spend a little bit of time in the stories.
Dice que voy a pasar un poquito de tiempo en las historias.
Chapter 1, 3, 4, 5, and 6.
1, 3,
3
to
6.
3 to 6.
And because you can read that on your own,
porque puedes leer en tu propio tiempo,
these stories are very easy to understand.
Son muy fáciles de entender.
But you need to put it in the context,
pero tienes que poner en contexto,
of the prophecies
en las profecías,
and the stories about these teenagers.
Y las historias de estos tres adolescentes.
So let's pick up the story in Daniel chapter 1, verse 1.
Entonces vamos a leer la historia en Daniel, capítulo 1, versículo 1.
Versículo 1 a 2.
Versículo 1 y 2. Durante el tercer año del reino de Joaquín, rey de Judea, el rey Nebuchadnezzar de Babilonia llegó a Jerusalén y rodeó la ciudad con su ejército. El Señor dijo que capturaría a Joaquín y que también caería en su poder gran parte de los utensilios del templo de Dios. Nebuchadnezzar se llevó a los prisioneros a Babilonia y fue los utensilios sagrados en el tesoro del templo de sus dioses.
So, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
Entonces, los tres Daniel, los cuatro Daniel.
They were brought into captivity.
Fueron llevados a cautiverio.
Actually, that was not their Jewish name.
Esos eran sus nombres de judíos.
Ananías, Azaria, y Mishael.
¿Los también?
Yeah. But the king took away their name.
Pero el rey les quitó su nombre.
And he gave to Daniel the name Belshazzar.
Le dio nombre a Daniel Belshazzar.
That's the pagan name.
Es un nombre de paganos.
For the rest of his life, he's named after an idol. All of them were named after idols.
Todos fueron nombrados después de unos ídolos.
And he tried to make them good Babylonians.
Y los intentó hacer buenos Babilonios.
He wanted them to become part of his government.
Lo que él quería es que fueran parte de su gobierno.
So he says, I'm going to give you a great job.
Dice, te voy a dar un buen trabajo.
You're going to work for me.
Vas a trabajar para mí.
You're going to have the best job ever.
Vas a tener el mejor trabajo.
But you just have to compromise.
Pero nada más tienes que dejar tus comisiones.
Just a little compromise.
Más poquito.
Not a big compromise.
No, gran cosa.
Just a little
compromise.
Now imagine their situation.
No más imagínate su situación.
They're taken away from their family.
Los quitan de su familia.
No Bible.
No hay Biblia.
No church.
No hay iglesia.
No discipler.
No hay discipulador.
Teenagers.
Jóvenes, adolescentes.
And they have no support.
Y no tienen ningún support.
All they have is their faith that God is in control.
Lo único que tienen en su fe es que Dios está en control.
Amen.
And they say to the king,
y le dicen al rey,
you can keep your job.
Le dicen, quédate con tu empleo.
We're not going to compromise our convictions.
Nosotros no vamos a comprometer nuestras convicciones.
Notice in Daniel chapter 1 verse 2.
Mira lo que dice en Daniel capítulo 1 versículo 2.
It says the Lord delivered Jehoiakim.
Dice que el Dios dio a Jehoiakim.
Yeah.
Joaquín.
Also in verse 9.
También en versículo 9.
It says God caused the official to show favor to Daniel.
Dice que Dios fue quien mostró bondad desde el oficial hasta los jóvenes.
And in verse 17,
y versículo 17,
it says, God gave them knowledge and understanding.
Dios les dio entendimiento y sabiduría.
See, these teenagers, they understood that God is in control.
Estos jóvenes entendían que Dios estaba en control.
Amen.
In verse 8, Daniel said,
en versículo 8, Daniel dice,
we will not compromise.
No vamos a compromiso.
We will never eat the food that is not authorized.
No vamos a comer la comida que no está autorizada.
How about you?
¿Qué tal tú?
Would you compromise your conviction to have a good job?
¿Comprometes tus convicciones para tener un buen trabajo?
It's not worth it.
No vale la pena.
Don't ever compromise.
Nunca de tus convicciones.
You know, God's going to use you in that situation.
Dios te va a usar en esa situación.
I believe that.
Yo creo eso.
We can't lose our being a Christian on the job.
No podemos perder de cristianos por el trabajo.
In fact, Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they said, hey, test us.
Dice lo contrario, los cuatro jóvenes dijeron, pruébalos.
No, we're not going to miss church.
No vamos a perder la iglesia.
We're not going to stop sharing our faith.
No vamos a dejar de compartir nuestra fe.
Test us in this.
Pruébanos en esto.
Give us vegetables.
Dice, danos solo verduras.
The other guys, they can eat the fancy food.
Aquellos más que coman la comida buena.
Just give us vegetables.
Nada más danos verduras.
Because, see, they wanted to show that they were trusting in God.
Lo que ellos querían hacer es mostrar que estaban confiando en Dios.
He said, in verse 11, he said, please test your servants.
Dice, por favor, prueba a tus siervos.
See, we should stick out at the job.
Nosotros debemos de resaltar en nuestro trabajo.
It should be obvious that you're the Christian.
Tiene que ser obvio que tú eres el cristiano.
At my university there in San Diego,
en la universidad donde yo estoy en San Diego,
I have a reputation.
Yo tengo una reputación.
I'm the Christian professor.
Yo soy el profesor cristiano.
One of my students tried to sue me.
Dice uno de mis estudiantes me intentó demandar.
Because I have Christian materials on my website.
Porque tengo este material cristiano en mi página de internet.
One of my colleagues,
uno de mis compañeros de trabajo,
he's an atheist,
es un ateo,
he's gay,
y es homosexual,
but when he has Christian students, he says, go see John, he'll help you.
Pero dice que cuando tiene estudiantes cristianos, se ve a ver a John, él te va a ayudar.
Right now, one of my students, he's studying the Bible.
Ahorita uno de mis estudiantes está estudiando la Biblia.
Another of my students, he's going to church. Another student from last semester, she's getting close to being baptized. We need to follow the example of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They saw their job as an opportunity to share their faith. They don't have what you have. They don't have any of the support we have. But they said to the king, the most powerful man in the world, you can keep your job. You can keep your salary. We're going to be faithful to God.
Amen.
You know what happened? At the end of the testing time, they were busted all the other guys. And he said to the other guys, you got to eat vegetables too. I say, when the world tries to get you to compromise, that's your opportunity. They're going to say, we don't want you to lie to the customers.
No queremos que le mientas a los clientes.
We just want you to reveal only part of the truth.
No más lo que queremos es que digas nada más parte de la verdad.
You say, no, I can't do that.
Tú tienes que decir, no,
I'm a Christian.
Yo soy cristiano.
Here, try this.
Te vas a decir, mira, prueba esto.
I'm going to be honest with the customers.
Yo voy a ser honesto con los clientes.
You watch.
Tú mira.
I'll sell twice as much as everybody.
You want them mad, I'll do it all the time.
And if I don't,
if you know,
fire me. That's why I was here. Because I think that's how God's going to use
it. But you feel like more Dios about it.
Amen.
And then there's Daniel chapter 3. We're going
to
spend a little bit of time there.
I also spend a little bit of time.
We're going to skip the other stories. I just focus in on this one. So Nebuchadnezzar builds a statue.
A statue.
30 meters high.
30 metros alto.
And he says, everybody come and have a big party.
Todos vengan a hacer una gran fiesta.
We're going to celebrate this idol.
Vamos a festejar este ídolo.
And guess who got invited?
¿Y quién crees que invitaron?
Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
A los cuatro jóvenes.
No, only three.
Only three.
Yeah.
Daniel
wasn't there. Los tres. Decimos los tres.
Los tres.
They're at the party.
Ven a la fiesta.
But it's not voluntary.
Pero no es voluntario.
It's like, you come to the party. So Nebuchadnezzar says, all right, we're going to have blow the horns and all these instruments. Tens of thousands of people. It says, when you hear those instruments, you bow down to that statue. I've got a question. Would you have bowed to that statue? To me, Daniel chapter 1 represents the temptation to compromise on the job. To me, Daniel chapter 3
tres
represent compromising on our religion.
Compromiso en nuestra religión.
On our doctrine.
En nuestra doctrina.
On our belief.
En nuestra creencia.
On our conviction.
En nuestras convicciones.
Would you have bowed down to that statue?
¿Tú te arrodillarías a esa estatua?
Remember, you're just a teenager.
Acuérdate, tú eres un adolescente.
Nobody would know.
Nadie se daba cuenta.
Now, here's what I would think.
Y eso que yo pensaría.
I'll bow my head, but not my heart.
Yo simplemente voy a agachar mi cabeza, pero no mi corazón.
Watch this, watch this.
Mira esto, lo mostró.
Did I just sin?
¿Se acabó de pecar?
No. If bowing was a sin, then Japanese people are in big trouble.
Dice que si fuera a agachar su cabeza, pecado, entonces todos los hermanos japoneses tendrían un problema.
It's not a sin to bow. I mean, seriously. That's what I would have been thinking. What's the big deal? It's just bowing. I bow when I pick up my shampoo to wash my hair. But see, that's not the point. It's about the honor of God. It's about you believe that God is in control. See, there's going to come a time in your life. I don't know when it'll be. But somebody's going to put you on the spot. And you're going to have to declare whether you have conviction about God or not. I remember one time I shared a faith with one of my students. And this was at a Christian university. It was a Catholic university. And she was studying with the girls in the church. And she was counting the cost. And then her mother called the president of my college. And then the president called me in and said, "What's going on here?" You're converting the students that come to this college? So what am I supposed to say? I say, "Yeah, we have a Bible study. We try to help people become a Christian." You know, not long after that, I came up for what we call tenure. And the president mentioned that situation and they didn't give me tenure. But the next year, the president got fired. And then I got tenure. Because God rules the nation.
That's a great story.
Now, what do you think? If they bowed down to that statue, did they go to hell for that? I don't think so. But that's not the point. The question is, do you believe God is in control or not? All people are going to try to get to compromise him anyway. You're too committed. Discipleship, that's for the extra Christian. Baptism, you're too legalistic. I remember one time I was studying, sharing with my friend, and I told him, you know, unless you're baptized, you're not saved. He was very, very religious. He said, "Are you telling me I'm going to hell?" I said, "Well, I'm just telling you what the Bible says." He said, No. You're telling me I'm going to hell, right? I said, I'm just reading the Bible. He said, "No, I want you to tell me right now. Are you saying I'm going to hell?" I said, "Yeah, I think you're going to hell." You know, we can't back down. We can't compromise the truth. So anyway, all the horns and all the instruments went off. Tens of thousands bowed down to that statue. Chad, the three.
Los tres.
They stood proud for God.
Se mantuvieron firmes para Dios.
And God was glorified that day.
Dios fue glorificado.
Now Nebuchadnezzar is up on the stage.
Nebuchadnezzar está en el estrado.
And he looked and he saw those three.
Y miró esos tres.
And he was mad.
Y estaba muy enojado.
He was furious with rage. And he said to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, he said, bring those guys up here. Let's read about that.
Vamos a leer eso.
Verse
14.
Versículo
14.
Through 14 and 15.
14 y 15. Les preguntó, ¿es verdad que ustedes no adoraron a mis dioses ni a las cuatro de oro que yo he mandado hacer? ¿Están ustedes dispuestos tan pronto como oye la música a inclinarse ante la estatua y que yo he mandado hacer y adorarla? Porque si no lo adoran, ahora mismo serán arrojados a un horno encendido. Y entonces, ¿qué Dios podrá salvarlos?
The most powerful man in the world.
El hombre más poderoso del mundo en este momento.
Three teenagers.
Tres adolescentes.
And he says, who do you think you are? My God already defeated your God.
Dice, mi Dios ya destruyeron a tu Dios.
The facts say that.
Los hechos dicen eso.
Because his armies had defeated their armies.
Porque ejército destruyó tu ejército.
And the items from the Jewish temple were sitting in his treasury.
Ahora los artículos que estaban en el templo están ahora en mí.
I already proved that my God is greater than your God. Now, I'm going to give you one more chance. You bow down to the statue. Are you going to go in the fiery furnace? What would you have done? You know, God put me here for this great opportunity. He gave me this great job. Now I'm going to throw it away. I love the response.
Me encanta su respuesta.
Verse 16 through 18.
Versículo 16 al 18. No tenemos por qué discutir este asunto con los contestaron los tres jóvenes. Nuestro Dios a quien adoramos, pues librarnos de las llamas del horno y de todo el mal que su majestad quiera hacernos, y nos librará. Pero aunque si no lo hiciera, sepa bien su majestad que no adoraremos a sus dioses ni nos arrodillaremos antes de la estatua de oro.
The boldness of these three.
La valentía de estos tres.
They said, we don't have to defend ourselves before you.
No tenemos que defendernos ante usted.
They say, the God we serve can save us from the flames.
El Dios que nosotros servimos nos puede rescatar de las llamas.
Now, did they expect to be saved?
Esperaban que hubieran sido que los salvaran.
Did they expect that they get thrown in the flames that would not hurt them?
Esperaban que los iban a meter al fuego que no se iban a pasar nada.
I don't think so.
No creo que no.
We have no prior example like this.
No tenemos ningún ejemplo antes de esto.
They said, God can save us. But even if he doesn't save us, we're not going to bow down. Some of us are in a hard situation. Maybe you have a spouse that's not faithful. Maybe your teenagers are rebellious. Maybe you lost your job. Maybe you or maybe someone in your family has a terrible disease. God is able to save you from that. But even if he doesn't, God is still in control. Because God can raise up nations and he can take them out. They gave glory to God. Not to themselves, they gave glory to God. God can save us from those flames.
Dios nos puede salvar de esas llamas.
And at this point, Nebuchadnezzar completely lost his temper.
En este momento, el rey completamente.
He was overcome with rage.
Ya se molestó demasiado. demasiado.
He said, make those flames seven times as hot.
Y que hagan esas llamas siete más fuerte.
And they dragged Los Tres off to the flames.
Y agarraron los tres y los metieron a las llamas.
You know, it wasn't too late.
No era muy tarde.
Even then, I'm sure they're going, oh, wait, never mind. Just do this with one more time. Imagine what they were thinking as they're dragged off to the flame. Is it worth it? Will I really go to heaven? You know, they trusted God. They believed that God was in control. Now you know the rest of the story. The story has a happy ending. But I believe, even if it didn't have a happy ending, it wouldn't change the story really very much at all. You know, they were thrown into the flames. The soldiers were all burned. And they were fired up. Does that work? Does that work?
Fire up, no, they
don't
work.
Sorry. In English, that's a joke.
In English, it's an aroma.
But never mind.
Okay.
Fired up, never mind. Never
fire
mind.
Up.
So I want you to be challenged by Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We need to stand up for God. We need to act like we really believe God's in control. Whatever the circumstance. When the church is growing, God's in control. When the church goes through struggles, God is in control. When your children are faithful to God, God's in control. When your children are not faithful to God, God is still in control. Well, when's it hard to realize God's in control? When things aren't looking so good, right? But in Hebrews 11 it says, faith is belief in things unseen. And success, sometimes it's the enemy of faith. Because faith believes in things you can't see. Now let's take some time to look at the prophetic parts of this. I'm going to skip quite a bit here. Alright, so we're in Daniel chapter 2. Now let me mostly tell you the story. We'll just read the last part. So Nebuchadnezzar, he has a dream. And it was not a normal dream. When he woke up, he realized he'd had a religious experience. He said, oh my Dios.
Oh my Dios.
Anyway, he had a dream. He knew it was from the gods. So he wanted to find the interpretation. So he brings in all his religious guys, all those priests and magicians. He says, I want to know the meaning of the dream. And they say, great, tell us the dream and we'll tell you the interpretation. He says, no. You guys are a bunch of fakes. You guys have your miracles. The people walk on stage with a limp. And then they walk off a little bit less. That kind of miracle. But he said, we're not going to play those religious games anymore. Because I need to know the meaning of this dream. So you prove your power to interpret my dream. You tell me the dream, then you tell me the interpretation.
Dice, comprueba tus poderes, dime mi sueño, y después me dice la interpretación del sueño.
And say, that's not fair.
Dice, no, no es justo.
You want us to do an actual miracle?
¿Quieres que realmente hagamos un milagro?
Like the kind that, you know, Jesus did?
Algo así como hace?
He says, yes.
Claro.
And if you don't, I'm going to kill you all.
Si no lo haces, voy a matar a todos.
Now that applies to Daniel.
Eso también aplicaba a Daniel.
And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
Jóvenes.
So they heard about that.
Y escucharon eso.
And they said to the king,
y le dijeron al rey,
I can interpret the dream.
Dijeron, nosotros podemos interpretar el sueño.
No, that is not what he said.
Dice, no, eso no fue lo que dijeron.
He said, I can't interpret the dream.
Ellos dijeron, nosotros no podemos interpretar.
But he said, there's a God in heaven.
Pero tenemos un Dios en cielo.
And that God can interpret the dream.
Y ese Dios sí puede interpretar.
See, they were always looking for a chance to give glory to God.
Mira, la realidad es que ellos siempre están buscando una oportunidad para la
and
gloria a Dios.
They saw the worst situation
vieron la peor situación
as the best opportunity.
Y la vieron como la mejor oportunidad.
Do you see it that way?
¿Tú lo miras así?
That goes against our nature.
Esto va contra nuestra naturaleza.
She says, no, we're going to pray to God.
Dice, mira, vamos a orarle a nuestro Dios.
That's what we need to do.
Esto es lo que tenemos que hacer.
You need to say, I'm going to pray about it.
Dice, muchas veces tienes que decir, déjame orar.
And we'll see what happens.
Y vamos a ver qué pasa.
And guess what? People are going to see what happens.
Y mucha gente va a ver lo que va a pasar.
So anyway, he comes back and he tells them the dream.
Él regresa y les dice el sueño.
He said, Nebuchadnezzar, you saw a giant statue.
Dice, Nebuchadnezzar, you saw a giant statue.
Head of gold.
Este, cabeza de oro.
Chest of silver.
Este, pecho de este, plata.
Belly and thighs of bronze.
Esta,
rosa, rosa.
Cadera. Cadera de bronce.
Bronce. Y legs of iron.
Y las piernas de
hierro. And he said that he saw a rock. It started out really small, and then it became great, and it smashed the statue. And then Nebuchadnezzar said, oh my Jehovah. So let's read about that. In verse 40, 39 through 45.
Después del reino de su majestad, habrá otro reino inferior al suyo, y luego un tercer reino de bronce que dominará sobre toda la tierra. Vendrá después un cuarto reino fuerte como el hierro, y así como el hierro lo destrozará todo y lo destruirá, así este reino destrozará y destruirá a todos los otros reinos. Su majestad vio también que una parte de los pies y de los dedos era de barro y la otra de hierro. Esto quiere decir que este que será un reino dividido, aunque con algo de la fortaleza del hierro. Pues su majestad vio que el hierro estaba mezclado con el barro. Los dedos de los pies eran en parte de hierro y en parte de barro. Y eso significa que el reino será fuerte y débil al mismo tiempo. Y así como su majestad vio el hierro mezclado con el barro, así los gobernantes de este reino se unirán por medio de alianzas matrimoniales, pero no podrán formar un solo cuerpo entre sí, como tampoco puede el hierro mezclarse con el barro. Durante el gobierno de estos reyes, el Dios del cielo establecerá un reino que jamás será destruido ni dominado por ninguna otra nación, sino que acabará por completo con todas las demás reinos y durará para siempre. Eso es lo que significa la piedra que su majestad vio desprenderse del monte, sin que nadie le hubiera empujado. Piedra que convirtió en polvo al hierro, el bronce, el barro, la plata y el oro. El gran Dios ha revelado a su majestad lo que va a pasar en el futuro. El sueño es verdadero y su interpretación es cierta.
Thank you. So, Daniel says to Nebuchadnezzar,
entonces Daniel dice a Nebuchadnezzar,
the head of gold, that's you.
Dice, la cabeza de oro eres tú.
That's your empire.
Ese es tu imperio.
It's a great empire.
Es un gran imperio.
He says, after you will come another empire.
Después de ti vendrá otro imperio.
not quite so great.
Not tan grande como el tuyo.
He's trying to soften the message a little bit.
Está intentando a suavizar un poco el mensaje.
In fact, if you saw the map,
si te das cuenta en el mapa,
Persia was much bigger than Babylon.
Persia era más grande.
He's trying to soften it a little bit.
Está intentando hacerlo un poquito más suave el mensaje.
And he says, after that will come a third kingdom.
Después viene otro tercero.
Like bronze.
Como bronce.
That's the Greek Empire.
Este es el Imperio Griego.
And he says, after that will come the strongest empire of all.
Y después de ello ya es el reino más poderoso de todos.
The greatest empire of all time.
El imperio mejor de todos.
If you ever read a history book, you know what empire that is.
Si tú has leído historia, tú sabes el imperio que es.
That's the Roman Empire.
Es el imperio romano.
He says, this very, very strong empire.
Este va a ser un imperio muy fuerte.
It'll be a divided empire.
Pero va a ser un imperio dividido.
Now, was Rome a divided empire?
Roma era un imperio dividido?
Yeah, it divided into Eastern and Western Rome.
Claro, sí, se divide entre el este y el oeste.
After about 395 AD.
Después de 395 después de Cristo.
Then he says, part of it will be strong like iron.
Dice, parte va a ser fuerte como el hierro.
And part of it will be brittle like clay.
Pero va a ser débil como el barro.
Is that describe Rome pretty well?
Eso describe muy bien el imperio romano.
Exactly.
Exactamente.
Because Rome divided about 400 AD.
Dice que el imperio romano se divide.
And then about 56 years later, Western Rome fell apart.
Después, dice que después de 56 años, el oeste completamente se cae.
But Eastern Rome lasted for 1,000 years.
Pero el imperio del este dura por otros 1,000 años.
So here, God reveals through Daniel the history of the world for the next 2,000 years.
Aquí lo que pasa es que por medio de Daniel revela la historia de los 2,000 años del futuro de la humanidad.
That's pretty impressive.
Muy impresionante.
Anybody here want to put it down on paper?
¿Alguien quiere ponerse en papel?
What's going to happen in the next 2,000 years?
¿Qué va a pasar en los próximos 2,000 años?
But that's not all.
Eso no es todo.
He says, in the time of those kings,
dice, durante el tiempo de esos reyes,
in the time of the Roman kings,
durante el tiempo de los romanos,
God's going to establish another kingdom.
Pero va, Dios va a establecer otro reino.
And it's going to outlast all of us.
Y va a sobrepasar a todos los demás.
And you're a citizen of that kingdom.
Y tú eres parte de ese reino.
It's the kingdom of God. Now that's impressive. And to me it's evidence that God is in control. I think that if God can raise up these four kingdoms, he can put them in place, and he can describe how it's going to be divided and all these things, I think he could give you a job if you need one. What do you think? I think that if you trust him to be open about your sin, I think he could take care of it. What do you think? But I'm telling you, that's like nothing. That's an easy prophecy compared to Daniel chapter 7. The vision of four beasts.
La profecía de cuatro bestias,
Now the four beasts of Daniel 7,
las cuatro bestias del libro del capítulo 7,
are the four parts of the statue in Daniel 2.
Son las cuatro que también aparecen en el capítulo 2.
The first beast,
la primera bestia,
is Babylon.
Es Babilonia.
And it describes it like a lion.
Y la describe como un león.
And if you go to the museum in Berlin, it has the wall from Babylon.
Si tú vas al Museo de Berlín, tiene la pared de Babilonia.
And it's covered with lions.
Y tiene figuras de león.
And he says the second kingdom,
y dice que el segundo reino,
it's like oso, a bear.
Un oso.
And it has three ribs in his mouth.
Y tiene tres,
And you think, what are the three ribs?
¿Qué son las tres costillas?
But one thing that you should learn from Daniel, every single detail in those prophecies are exactly what happened.
Es que cada cosa que profetiza Daniel son exactamente lo que pasó.
Because the bear,
porque el oso,
is Persia.
Es Persia.
And guess how many empires were conquered by Cyrus?
¿Cuántos imperios que se conquistó el rey Cyrus?
Three. He conquered Lydia.
Conquistó Lidia.
He conquered Babylon.
Conquistó Babilonia.
And he conquered Egypt.
Y conquistó Egipto.
That's the three ribs in the mouth of the bear.
Esos son los tres costillas.
And then there's a third beast. It's like a leopard. I don't know how you say leopard.
Leopard.
Some kind of big cat.
Es como un gato grande.
And it describes him, but we're going to talk about that. That's going to be Greece.
Dice que vamos a hablar, pero eso es Grecia.
That'll be in chapter 8.
Eso es en capítulo 8.
This vision,
esta visión,
is a vision of the fourth beast.
Esa es la de cuarta bestia.
All right, let's read about that.
Vamos a leer esto.
Verse 7 through 8. Daniel 7,
versículo 7 y el 8. El cuarto monstruo que vio en mis visiones era terrible, espantoso y de una fuerza extraordinaria. Tenía grandes dientes de hierro, todo lo devoraba y destrozaba y pisoteaba las obras. Era un monstruo diferente de todos los que yo había visto en mi sueño y tenía 10 cuernos en la cabeza. Mientras yo estaba mirándolo, los cuernos, vi que de entre ellos salía otro cuerno más pequeño, y entonces le arrancaron 3 cuernos para dejar lugar al último que le había salido, el cual tenía ojos como los de un ser humano y una boca que hablaba con mucho arrogancia.
Now, this is a really strange vision, you have to say.
Es una visión muy rara, si te das cuenta.
This animal with these iron teeth.
Es una bestia con dientes de hierro.
And 10 horns.
Y tiene 10.
And a little horn.
¿Cómo se dice? Tiene cuernos.
And the little horn is saying things to the big horn.
Y el cuernito chiquito dice cosas a los otros 10.
I'm better than you, I'm the best horn of all. Imagine Daniel wrote this down. He must have thought, oh, they're going to think I'm crazy. But I'm telling you, this is exactly what happened. This is a vision about Rome. I can tell you who the little horn is. And I can tell you who the 10 horns are. Let's look at the interpretation. Because God gave an interpretation.
Porque Dios dio la interpretación.
Starting in verse 19 through 20. No, let's do this. Let's do 23 through 25.
Vamos a leer versículo 23 al 25. Y dijo, el cuarto monstruo será un cuarto reino que habrá sobre la tierra, diferente de todos los demás. Devorará toda la tierra, la pisoteará y la destrozará. Los 10 cuernos son 10 reyes que reinarán en este reino. Después de ellos subirá otro al poder que será más diferente de los primeros y que derribará a tres de estos reyes. Insultará a Dios Altísimo e irá acabando con su pueblo. Tratará de cambiar la ley de Dios y las fiestas religiosas. Y el pueblo de Dios estará bajo su poder durante 3 años y medio.
All right, so it says the fourth beast.
Dice aquí que el cuarto monstruo
is a fourth kingdom.
Es el cuarto reino.
Rome.
Roma.
And it says the horns are kings.
Dice que los cuernos eran los reyes.
Now, did Rome have kings?
Dice Roma tenía reyes.
Well, for the first 700 years, Rome had no kings.
Por los primeros 700 años no tenía reyes.
It was a republic.
Era una república.
The first king of Rome,
el primer rey de Rome,
his name was Augustus.
Era Augusto.
Augusto.
He was the one, it's on the PowerPoint here. Augusto. He was the one who was around when Jesus was born.
Este fue el que estuvo más o menos durante el tiempo de cuando Jesús nació.
And there they are. Augusto, Tiberio, etc. Now what he says is the 11th horn
The
11th king
el once rey
will attack the saints.
Va a perseguir a los santos.
Well, I can tell you his name.
¿Te puedo decir su nombre?
His name is Domitian. And it just so happened Domitiano was the first empire to attack the church. Actually, Nero had a bad day. And he had a little persecution for about 1 week. That's the one that killed Peter and Paul. But that was it. He left the church alone. So I have a question. How did Daniel know it would be the 11th king?
¿Cómo sabía Daniel que iba a ser el once rey?
That's pretty specific.
Fue muy específico.
And what's it say about him?
¿Qué dice acerca de él?
It said he would get rid of three other kings.
Dice que él va a destruir a los otros tres.
Well, what's that about?
¿De qué se trata eso?
Well, let me tell you what happened.
Déjate lo que pasó.
Nero died.
Dice que Nero se muere.
And Vespasian was conquering Jerusalem. And he was the most powerful general of Rome. Nero had no sons. So Vespasian came back to Rome. He left Titus behind. The next year, Titus fulfilled the prophecy in Daniel chapter 9. In the meantime, during that time, Galba, Otho, and Vitellius all became emperors for a few months. Domitian, the other son of Vespasian, he was in Rome. And he helped to defeat Galba, Otho, and Vitellius. That's exactly what Daniel said. How many times in history did one king defeat three kings that came before them? I don't know any other situation. But that's not all. It said he would be a boastful king. Domitian was so arrogant, he demanded to be called my Lord God Domitian. He was a very prideful man. There's his statue. That is, the head is taller than I am. And it says he would change the times. That's exactly what happened. He was so arrogant, he said, from now on, October is going to be Domitianus. And November is going to be Germanicus. Germanicus. That was his middle name. This guy was so arrogant, he said, we're going to name the months after me. How did Daniel know that? Now, if you were a Christian at that time, you're being thrown in prison, you're losing your job, your church leaders are being killed, you're thinking, God is not in control. That's not true. God said it would happen 700 years before it happened. That's pretty amazing. It said he would change the times. It also said he would change the laws. Now, Rome had the most famous legal system in all history. In fact, the Mexican legal system is based on the Roman legal system. This guy was so arrogant.
He
got rid of the Roman law.
He
said, now we're going to have the Domitian law. Exactly what Daniel said. 700 years before it happened. You know what? I think God rules the nation. I think God is in control. And when things look bad, that doesn't mean that God's not in control. In fact, it was the persecution of the church that had the most powerful effect on purifying the church and causing it to grow. And within 2 centuries, the church conquered Rome. So I say God's in control. But it says the saints will be handed over to him. Maybe you have some hard things in your life. Maybe it's not looking so good. God is in control. And then there's Daniel chapter 8. It's the vision of the ram
del cordero
and the goat
y del
la cabra. He said first there was this ram and he was going around and he had one long horn and one short horn
que tenía un cuerno largo y unos chitos.
But later on the short horn became longer than the other horn. Daniel's probably thinking, all right, if you want me to write that down, I guess so. But see, that's Persia. Persia had a unique history. It was a dual empire. It was an empire of the Persians and the Medes.
Medes.
And before Cyrus, it was the Medes and the Persians. And after Cyrus, it was the Medes and the Persians. Exactly as described. And in the vision, Daniel's standing on the Ulai Canal. There's Susa. And there's the canal. He said he was looking out over the canal, which is looking to the west. And let's read the rest of this vision. Verse 5 through 8.
Capítulo 8, versículo 5 al 8. Todavía estaba yo pensando en lo que había visto, cuando me di cuenta de que un chivo venía del oeste, corriendo tan deprisa que ni siquiera tocaba el suelo. Este chivo tenía un gran cuerno entre los ojos, y cuando llegó cerca del cornero de los cuernos que yo había visto junto al río, le embistió con todas sus fuerzas y le rompió sus dos cuernos sin que el cornero tuviera fuerza para enfrentarse con él. Después el chivo derribó por tierra al carnero y lo pisoteó sin que nadie pudiera salvarlo. El chivo se hacía cada vez más fuerte, pero en el momento en que más poder tenía, su gran cuerno se rompió y en su lugar le salieron 4 cuernos que apuntaban hacia los 4 vientos.
Now, I assume you want to know the interpretation of this dream. And I'll tell you this, every detail in Daniel is exactly what happened. But Roberto told me, we need a break. Now, I only have about 30 minutes to go. So let's take about a 10-minute break, and then we'll do about 30 more minutes. Okay?
I've read Revelation. It's
there's something that's happening right now that I need to know, just the same way that Daniel wrote and it was happening?
The answer is no.
No.
Absolutely nothing.
No, no.
You need to be like the five wise virgins.
¿Dice que debes ser como las cinco virgen?
Not like the ten foolish virgins.
No como las diez,
Your job is to be ready.
Tu trabajo es estar listo.
You should live your life as if Jesus is going to come back today.
Debes vivir tu vida como si Jesús regresara hoy.
And at the same time,
y al mismo tiempo,
you need to be prepared in case he doesn't come for 1,000 years.
Y también estar preparado si no viene por mil años.
We need to do both at the same time.
Debemos hacer las dos cosas al mismo tiempo.
Live as if he would come back tomorrow.
Vive como si él viniera mañana.
But don't spend all your money.
Pero no gastes todo tu dinero.
Because you don't know when he's going to come back.
Porque no sabes cuándo va a regresar.
There's many teachings about Revelation and when Jesus is going to come back.
Hay muchas enseñanzas de Apocalipsis.
Don't listen to it.
No,
it's all nonsense.
No tiene sentido.
In Matthew 24,
dice Mateo 24,
Jesus said,
Jesús dijo,
if somebody tells you he's going to come back right now,
si alguien dice va a regresar ahorita,
he said, don't listen to him.
No le escuches.
So here's my advice.
Aquí está mi consejo.
Don't listen to those people.
Don't escuches a esas personas.
They don't know what they're talking about.
No saben lo que están hablando.
Now, one of them is going to get lucky.
Alguno de ellos va a tener la suerte.
Because every year they say he's going to come back this
Porque
year.
Porque cada año alguien dice va a regresar Jesús.
One of them is going to get lucky.
Uno de ellos va a tener la suerte.
But I tell you, it's just luck.
Va a ser pura suerte.
Because it's going to come back like a thief in the night.
Porque va a regresar como un ladrón.
Now, if you knew the night the thief was going to come,
dice, si tú supieras que va a venir un ladrón,
You wouldn't protect your house, right? Except on that night. And if you knew when Jesus was going to come back, hey, I'll do whatever I want. And that'll repent the day before. That's false teaching.
They say that after Jesus comes, are there any more prophecies? Because some religions, other religions, preach about it.
Right. There's three passages I want to mention that discuss that. One is in Zechariah chapter 11. Where he talks about the spirit of prophecy ending. I'm sorry, Zechariah 13. I'm going to ask you to read it later. I'll just give you a little bit of the context. Zechariah 13, starting in verse 2 to verse 6. He says, on that day a fountain will be opened to cleanse them from sin and impurity. It's a prophecy about Pentecost.
Dice que va acerca del día de Pentecostés.
And about baptism.
Y acerca del bautismo.
And he says, after that time, nobody's going to claim to be a prophet anymore.
Y dice que después de ahí, nadie.
In fact, it says, if anybody claims to be a prophet,
dice, más, si alguien dice que es profeta después
it says, kill that person.
Dice, mata esa persona.
All right, now I don't think we should kill our friends in the Pentecostal churches.
Dice que no debemos ir y matar a sus amigos de Pentecostés.
But in my opinion, it's not true. The Bible makes it clear, prophecy will cease.
Dice que es muy claro que la profecía se terminará.
Also in 1 Corinthians chapter 13.
También en 1 Corintios capítulo 13.
It says that these things will cease.
Dice que esas cosas se terminarán.
It says, when the mature comes, the immature ends.
Dice que cuando lo maduro viene, lo inmaduro se va.
And it says, prophecy will cease.
Dice que la profecía.
And also in Hebrews,
y también en Hebreos,
chapter 2, I believe, yes, chapter 2,
capítulo dos,
blah, blah, blah. Yes, it's chapter 2, verse 4.
Y Hebreos dos, versículo cuatro,
it says, the revelations from God
dice que las revelaciones de Dios
were announced
fueron anunciadas
by miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit.
fueron anunciadas por medio del Espíritu Santo.
The purpose for those gifts,
por medio de esos dones,
including the gift of prophecy,
incluidos la de profecía,
and inspired teaching, was because they didn't have the New Testament.
La propósito de este don, en la interpretación de las escrituras, fue porque no tenían el Nuevo Testamento.
We have the complete New Testament.
Ya que tenemos completamente el Nuevo Testamento.
And the reason for inspired prophecy is ended.
Ya la inspiración de profecía ya se terminó.
And besides, in the church, the only ones who had that inspired prophecy.
Y aparte de eso, la iglesia los tienen este don de profecía.
They had their hands laid on them by an apostle.
Y les eran dones que se pasaban por medio de los apóstoles.
Now, don't get in an argument with your friend from a Pentecostal church. It's a waste of time. Because if somebody has an experience, and you try to prove it wrong in the Bible, that never really works. But you should ask yourself, did that person have an apostle put their hand on them? Because biblically, that's the only way you would have that gift. And also,
the question she's asking is, are there any prophecies after Jesus comes back?
Oh, after he comes back?
No.
Again, in my opinion,
una vez más, en mi opinión,
to go them and tell them, oh, you're a false prophet,
ve y decirle, eres profeta falso,
I don't think that'll be effective.
No va a ser muy buena.
But they are a false prophet.
Pero la verdad es que son profetas falsos.
And maybe you should let the Holy Spirit work.
La verdad es que el Espíritu Santo.
Maybe the time would come
tal vez el tiempo va a venir,
where you could share these scriptures and explain your conviction.
Cuando puedes compartir estas escrituras y mostrar tus convicciones.
But my experience tells me,
pero mi experiencia me ha dicho,
trying to disprove somebody's experience with a scripture,
con las escrituras,
generally they believe their experience instead of the scripture.
Muchas veces ellos creen más sus experiencias que las escrituras.
So my advice,
entonces, mi consejo,
is to let her see your life
que ella vea tu vida.
And the fact that you are close with God.
Que la verdad es que
the fact that you help the poor. The fact that you love God. The fruit in your life that God has given you. Maybe invite her to come to church here. To see Christianity really working. Maybe she'll begin to question. But it's false prophecy. By the way, I believe God still does miracles.
Yo todavía creo que Dios hace milagros.
I believe God could heal somebody.
Yo creo que Dios puede sanar a alguien.
If God wanted to, he could even make you speak in tongues. I don't really know. I'm not.
Yo soy convencido que si Dios quisiera que alguien hablara en lenguas, puede hacerlo.
I'm not here to limit God.
No estoy aquí para limitar a Dios.
Or to say that God cannot do this or that.
No estoy sino para que Dios pueda hacer esto.
But I say, as for people having that gift.
Pero de acuerdo que esta alguien tenga ese don.
Like the gift of healing.
Como el don de sanar,
or the gift of tongues.
El don de lengua,
or the gift of prophecy.
O el don de profecía,
where they could continue doing that.
Que continúan haciendo esto,
that God's working through that individual.
Que Dios está trabajando en este individuo,
that's deceit.
Eso dice que eso ya pasó.
So this person is deceived.
Esta persona está engañada.
se levantarán las multitudes.
And it says that from the dust of the earth, mm-hmm. most will be rise.
Tal vez para la eternidad o para ser avergonzados.
And it's talking about some will be for eternal, and others will be.
Right.
Here's the question. Is the next question.
De acuerdo a lo que dice aquí.
According to what it says here.
Como cristianos.
Like a Christian.
¿Qué tan correcto es decir?
How true is it to say
cuando alguien muere,
when someone dies?
Que ya está con Dios en el cielo.
Oh, I have a question.
What's that?
The question is, based on the scripture, how is it for us as Christians to say that when someone dies they're in heaven already?
Oh, well, that's just not true.
They say it's from a cielo.
That's, you know, that's a very common belief, even in our church, I think.
Dice que es muy común aún en nuestra iglesia.
People say, oh, he's in heaven.
Que decimos, ah, esa persona está en el cielo.
Well, that's not true. But I'm not too worried about that, you know.
Yo no me preocupo mucho, eso, la verdad.
Exact doctrine about that is not very important.
Dice que esa es exactamente lo que no es importante.
But the Bible teaches that we go to Hades.
Dice que lo que muestra es que nosotros vamos a
Hades. Hades. Es un lugar para esperar, to wait. And that all of us will be resurrected at the end of time. So, people who died are not going to heaven now. They go to wait. And all will be judged at the end. And the Bible doesn't give much detail. In 1 Peter chapter 3, it talks about Jesus going there to preach to the spirits in Hades. I don't know what that means exactly. And there's the parable about the rich man and Lazarus. It's a parable, but it seems to describe a good place and a bad place, even in Hades. Now, if we needed to know about that, God would tell us. So it's a fun subject, but the honest truth is we don't know very much. There's a book back there written by Doug Jacoby. He goes into a lot of detail about that.
I have a question in Genesis chapter 1:26. And he said that make man to our image. Is it referring to the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit?
No.
When he talks about let us make God man in our own image?
No, he's talking about us.
Oh, is that about us?
Yeah.
When he said let us make man.
Right.
Dice que no está hablando acerca de nosotros.
Do you mean when he says
nosotros? Yeah, nosotros.
Yes. Forgive me for a big technical fancy term. But that's in English we say the royal we.
The royal we. Es como algo que estamos en inglés.
Nosotros, pero like, for example, somebody says we, and they mean the king.
Okay. En este caso cuando decimos nosotros como el rey, ¿no? Like a king, right?
No, no. The royal we. Okay.
So the question is, so why does it say let us make man? Does it make it in our image?
Right. So that is God speaking, and he's saying we're going to make humans in our image.
Ese es Dios hablando diciendo vamos a hacer al humano, a nuestra imagen.
But scholars would tell you.
Pero estudiosos te dirían
that they're using plural because that's one way to describe God.
Dice que están usando el plural porque es una manera de describir a Dios.
One of the names for God was Elohim.
Uno de los nombres que están es Elohim.
It's plural.
Es plural.
Now, is this evidence about the Trinity?
¿Es evidencia de la Trinidad?
Maybe not. I don't want to say for sure.
Tal vez no la usaría yo.
But one of the ways to describe the majesty and the glory of God
una manera que describimos la majestad de Dios
is to use a plural name for him.
Es usar el plural de él.
So that was a normal part of the language.
Era parte del lenguaje normal de los
espíritus. So God says we
cuando dice Dios nosotros
to show his majesty and his glory.
Para mostrar su poder y su majestad.
Some people would say that's because it's the Father and the Son and the Spirit saying we're doing that.
Muchos dicen eso, es el Padre, el Hijo y el Espíritu Santo haciendo esto.
That's a possible interpretation.
Puede ser una interpretación posible.
But I'm not sure.
Pero yo no estoy muy seguro de eso.
But the point is this.
Pero ese es el punto.
That God made us in His image.
El punto es que Dios nos hizo a nosotros.
Does that mean God has a nose?
¿Significa que Dios tiene una nariz?
Does He have two ears?
¿Tiene dos orejas?
Does he have hair?
¿Tiene pelo?
That's not what it's talking about. We're in God's image because we're eternal.
Porque somos eternos.
We have the same emotions that God has.
Tenemos las emociones que Dios.
We have soul.
Tenemos este,
we have spirit.
Tenemos espíritu.
We have sovereignty over our own. We have choice.
Tenemos este, opciones.
We have the ability to create.
Tenemos la habilidad de crear.
Those are the traits that God has given us. So the point of that verse is that we're made in His image. And the fact that it says we,
el hecho que dice nosotros,
there's two possible interpretations.
Hay dos interpretaciones posibles.
It might be Father, Son, Spirit,
puede ser Padre, Hijo, Espíritu Santo,
but in the Hebrew language,
pero en el lenguaje hebreo,
to use plural to represent a king,
representar a un rey.
That was a normal thing.
Era algo normal.
So that verse does not prove the Trinity.
Ese versículo no comprueba la Trinidad.
That, I would go somewhere else to show that.
Yo buscaría algo más para comprobar.
For example, in Genesis 1 verse 1,
como ejemplo,
it says the Spirit was hovering over the water.
Dice el Espíritu.
So I see evidence of the Holy Spirit.
Ahí veo evidencia del Espíritu Santo.
And in Genesis chapter 2,
in Genesis chapter 2,
it says, you know, that he will bite the snake, you know, the heel of the snake.
Dice que la serpiente mordería.
It's a prophecy about the Son.
Habla acerca de la profecía de Dios.
So I see the Holy Spirit in Genesis 1.
Dice en Genesis chapter 1 veo el Espíritu.
I see the Son in Genesis 1.
En Genesis chapter 1 veo al Hijo.
But the word we there, I'm not sure if that's proof of.
Dice que la palabra nosotros no comprueba la Trinidad en este versículo.
I wish I had a definite answer for every question.
Yo desearía tener una respuesta definitiva para cada pregunta, pero.
But I have to let you decide.
Pero te voy a dejar que yo decida.
All right?
Yes.
I'll ask.
About that, he went to a viewing and he said to the Pentecostal preacher, he preached to the multitude, telling them, hey, you know what? If you just pray and accept Jesus to your heart, you'll be saved. And then I got bothered by that.
You should be bothered by that. That's a lie.
It's not mentira.
It's a false doctrine.
No, it's a false doctrine.
And the problem is.
Well, he doesn't have the question yet.
Okay.
Pero,
you have a question?
¿Tienes una pregunta? He wants to go ahead and share with us.
Right. Well, I agree with you.
Es para usted.
Démosle un fuerte aplauso a John.
Thank you, John.
No problem.
Vamos a terminar con una oración. Recordemos que, bueno, me está comentando mi esposa, nuestra hermana María Naval va a volver a ser intervenida, y quiero decirles algo que no me animó nada. 2% de posibilidades de que sobreviva. Entonces, yo creo que Dios tiene el poder, tiene el control. Es nuestra hermana y sabemos que Él tiene en su voluntad un mejor plan para ella. Lo que Él decida va a ser lo mejor. Entonces, te invito a que oremos juntos.